Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for joining us. We recognize you could be anywhere on your radio dial on the Saturday morning, but we're certainly glad you decided to stop by here. On the program today, we're talking about why marriages fail. We look forward to your comments. And of course, if you're in this situation, on the precipice of this situation, and you would like some help and guidance, the number to call is 855-454-5905. And a very good morning to all of our friends in Detroit, all of our friends in Philadelphia, and all of our friends in Charlotte. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon. Here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends listening throughout the surrounding cities or on the internet. And we do welcome you. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Mm-hmm. Our God in heaven, we are so grateful for your love, your mercy, and the way that you guide us through your spirit and through your word. Father, I pray that we have open and receptive hearts, that our ears will be attentive to your direction, Father, and especially that you help us to heal and really learn to have the marriages that you've designed for us to have. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And as always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. Mm-hmm. And our theme scripture of the day is coming from 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll read it. We're going to actually read a little bit of it here. So starting in verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Mm-hmm. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting what he has been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, what an amazing passage, and the promise of God here that we won't stumble, we cannot fail. Mm-hmm. However, I think that we know the answer, right? Why do marriages fail? I believe so much of that is because we lose sight of what God has given us. We lose sight of Jesus. We lose sight of it. So we are going to have some great and open conversations. We invite you to join us this morning.
Absolutely. All you have to do is call 855-454-5905.
And I want to invite and bring into our program this morning a very special guest, Dr. Tommy Shavers, who is in Orlando, Florida. He's joining us via telephone. Good morning, Tommy. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. So I know we've had some conversation the last couple of days about why marriages fail, why the moral fiber of society has really why does it permeate throughout our relationships?
Well, I'd like to start off by saying I got four more days, and then I'm officially Dr. Shavers.
Okay. All right. Well, if you don't mind, we'll call you. I think you're all but dissertation, right? You're doing your dissertation in just a few days?
Yeah, I got 4 days left, and then it'll be official. So just wanted to technically say that out there. But, and back to the question, I think a lot of it comes down to the root of what defines marriage. And if we're defining it from a standpoint of how God created it to be, or if we're letting some other outside things define it, I think that has a lot to do with how marriages turn out.
Well, let's just hold for a second. Let's define marriage, because I think that the definition of marriage has become very shifted, and it's clouded. I think the future generation is going to have no clue of what a biblical marriage is unless we obviously teach them the Word of God, but in terms of what society defines marriage and the Bible defines marriage, it doesn't even seem like it should be called the same thing. It's something totally different.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, one of the biggest shifts from society's definition of marriage as opposed to God's definition of marriage is really God defines it as a union and companionship and in simple terms. But today's society has really, taken two essence out of marriage and has really broken it down to sex and romance.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of manufactured marriages on TV and in the media and society, and we're conditioned to think this is what marriage is supposed to be about, as opposed to union and companionship. And what does that look like? So I think that's a core issue of how the definition of marriage has shifted.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. I think that there's just even so much more to that because even that commitment is lost. You know, people don't believe in commitment anymore. I think everything, just in society in general, a lot of people don't even hold on to a job anymore. You're not expected to. Your employer is not expected to hold on to you anymore. So just in general, people just don't feel that sense of commitment. Their children, people feel like you don't necessarily have to be in the same household anymore to raise your kids. It's okay. Not only is okay, but it's become so normal in today's society.
You know, it's funny you say that. I mean, from a commitment standpoint, I agree with you 100%. You know, I've shared with couples in counseling and marriage, spiritual, you know, premarital counseling and things that when you're in marriage, You're making a commitment. You're saying yes in principle. And what that means is you're saying yes to more to tomorrow than you are to today. You know, you're saying I do to things you don't know that are going to take place down the line. You know, marriage is
for better or for worse, right? You're saying it for better or for worse, but a lot of times we just think the better. We forget the worse.
Oh, absolutely. And we I think we hear those words in marriage vows, and it was funny. I was watching one of those comedy video shows, and they had someone's marriage on the show, and they were going through the vows, and the soon-to-be bride was, I do, I commit, and then the priest said, the minister said, and would you promise to love and to submit to him? And in the vows, she stopped. She said, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that.
Wow.
And it's funny, but...
Yeah, it's funny, but not if you're the man standing at the altar.
Exactly. And, as crazy as that sounds, we don't really understand today what commitment means. It means for tomorrow. It means for whatever comes our way, we're committed to working through it and working this thing out and coming on the other side.
All right. Well, great. Well, we appreciate it. We still are going to call you Dr. Tommy Shavers. I know you'll be official in just 4 days. So we absolutely congratulate you for
that.
We want you to just hold on a second. We're going to take some calls, but we're going to have a brief break before that. And before we do that, we also want to give out this number again so you can give us a call and speak to myself, Marcos Mercado, Tiffany Bacon, or Dr. Tommy Shavers.
All right. So reach out to us on our topic today, why marriages fail, 855-454-5905. But just don't touch that dial. We will be right back with more conversation after this.
Thank you.
to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us again on Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are talking about why marriages fail. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Marcos, we have an anonymous caller on line one calling in from Michigan. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. What's your question or comment?
I'm trying to get some advice on what else can I do. I want to save my marriage, but it's like my husband, I've tried counseling, paid for counseling from a Christian, you know, pastor. His thing is there's nothing wrong with him. It's me. I'm like, okay, well, what is it? Well, you talk too much. Everybody don't need to know everything. Okay, well, I need to figure out what to do because this is not working. He's one person at church and somebody else at home. It's gotten to the point I'm very stressed out and I don't know what else to do.
Okay. Okay. Well, Dr. Tommy Shavers, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Were you able to hear the caller?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, great. Well, she is basically saying that she has tried everything. She's gone to counseling and that her husband doesn't see the problem. And so she's trying to work it out, but the husband isn't. Any thoughts?
Just to be clear, so you're saying that your husband isn't willing to work it out? He's not trying to work at it?
No, he thinks everything is fine as it is. It's a constant argument. I mean, if I say, how was your day? Well, my day was fine. What do you think I was doing? I'm like, what? I haven't seen you all day. I was just asking a question. You know, and it's an argument about everything. He complains about everything. I don't know what else to do at this point.
Okay.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask, how's the trust between the two of you relationally?
Messed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad.
Okay. Well, let me just start off with this. Is there anything that you feel like you can do differently?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I've tried everything that I know to try. You know, if I don't say anything, he's like, oh, what you being quiet for? What's wrong?
Okay. So you feel like he already has a defensive posture altogether.
Exactly.
You have mentioned to our producer that you felt like he was violating the vows. What would you say is the number one violation that your husband is committing right now?
Well, as far as he lies about everything, and when I catch him in a lie, that makes a bigger argument. And it's just, I don't know what else, you know what I'm saying? He does stuff that if he's not cheating, he's not trying to prove that he's not cheating. He just goes above and beyond. He's, you know, just like this morning, he's just leaving. I asked him last night if he had anything to do. No. But then he turns right around, and he's gone. I'm like,
okay,
whoa.
So you suspect he's cheating?
Exactly.
Okay, because I think that's the real issue, right? Because earlier you said he's defensive, whatever. Sounds like he's hiding something. You are catching on. He's not willing to change. Now, again, we're only basing this on what you're telling us. Your husband's not on the phone to defend himself or to share his side of it. But if you suspect that he's cheating and he's not willing to admit it, I mean, honestly, you can't reason with someone that's not going to be honest. You know, we one thing we realize is we can help anyone except a liar. You can't help
it.
Right. It's like going to the doctor, right? Say you have chest pains and your doctor asks you how you feel and you tell the doctor you feel great. He's not even going to check you out because he'll have no reason to. So you can't help a liar if every time you ask him, everything's fine. And it sounds like that's what your problem. Now, Dr. Tommy Shavers, we were talking earlier this week about just what happens, right? Because sometimes even people who claim Christianity lose that standard. And perhaps, let's just say in this case, you know, what do you think would be the reason, or in this case, the reason the husband's not willing to just own up if he is being unfaithful? And just humble out in this situation?
Well, I think it can be oftentimes what developed if trust is lost. I mean, there almost becomes a sense, on both parties, a sense of, like, paranoia. There's a fear of transparency, you know, and you know, I don't know specifically in your case, ma'am, but, you know, when someone has not been faithful, or if trust wasn't established well in the relationship from the beginning,
right,
it becomes very hard, and you know, and you don't have a foundation to start on because you're not able to be fully transparent, and transparency keeps you safe in a relationship,
exactly,
because you know there's nothing to hide, and relationships need that transparency to build trust.
Yes. Right. And I feel that that is a big part of the problem because of the way, you know, things started out between us over the years. And then when we got married, it just, you know, I believe that people can change. So that's what he made me think he had changed from what happened before. And I went on and agreed, you know, I was like, okay, well, when he asked me to marry him, I said yes. And then after we got married, it just went downhill.
You know, there's a psalm that comes to mind that says, even darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And God is just saying how he's able to take things that are backwards and make mm-hmm. them clear. However, sometimes we take that and we say, all right, God, you're going to change this man. You're going to change this woman. But really, you got to believe someone for who they are right then in that moment. It's not that God can't change them. God can change anyone. But if we don't want to change, God is not going to force that change on us. It's
exactly.
our choice.
Right, and that's where I feel I'm at now. I can't change him. God's not going to force him to change. If he don't want to change, where does that leave me?
It doesn't. You know? It's not your choice at this point. It's his choice. It's like what God, you're basically saying, what would God say to you if you're deciding to walk away? It sounds like your husband doesn't want to change and
right.
make this marriage work. All you
right.
can do is pray, and if he doesn't change, you can't have a marriage. It takes two.
Sorry, I'm going to build in.
Okay. All right, well, we just want to say thank you so much, but at this point, you just got to pray. It's going to take your changing and your husband changing.
Okay.
All right. Well, we want to say thank you so much for giving us a call this morning.
Thank you.
All
right. Take care. Let's go to line three and speak with Reverend Mack. Reverend Mack, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I thank God for that wonderful topic, my gracious, about this marriage thing. You know, first of all, marriage has to be a commitment, and also you have to know.
Now, Reverend Mack, do you have the radio on? We need it to be completely off, please.
Reverend Mack, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right,
yes,
make sure that radio is completely off. And
yes, it's off.
All right, well, great. So you're saying that there needs to be trust. Now, how do you build trust if there is no trust to begin with?
But first of all, you got to put God in there. If you don't have Christ in your life, you can't trust nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But if you got Christ built on your relationship and your marriage, hey, brother, it's going to work. I mean, you know, you're going to have difficulties in marriage, but, like, we have to realize that we all is under construction, and our marriage is not perfect, but you're working on situations. Number one, you can't be selfish.
Mm. We know that, right? Who's not selfish, though, Reverend Mack?
Pardon me?
I said, who's not selfish? We all struggle with that, don't we?
Right, we all struggle with that, but if you only know how to deal with the situation, I mean, you know, you got to give, you got to take. You don't know everything in marriage, you know. You got to, number one, you have to listen to your partner. A lot of people don't want to listen, Martha. They don't want to listen to each other. Everybody, one person have all the say-so, and, you know, but it don't work like that. I find out in marriage, it's a building, you know, you can't change that person. And that person can't change you.
Absolutely. Now, do you have any question or comment for our special guest, for Dr. Tommy Shavers this morning?
Well, the special guest, I think, my question to the special guest, I think you're doing a fantastic job. I don't have a question or anything concerning what you're talking about, because all of it is biblical, and it's a very strong foundation that the guest is talking about. And I agree with you guys 100%.
Amen. Thanks. Well, thank you,
Amen.
Reverend Mack.
Thanks, Reverend.
We appreciate it.
Yeah,
all right.
Thank
Have
you
a blessed
for calling.
Day.
All right.
If you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. Today, we are talking about why marriages fail. We look forward to hearing from you. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go to line four and speak with Ed, calling in from the Philadelphia area. Ed, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make a comment about divorce. It's a lack of respect, a lack of love, a lack of trust, and anything else that goes along with as far as divorce goes, because the divorce rate is just ridiculously high. And people don't think about them, the other person. They just think about what they want, their lust and all that other kind of stuff.
Okay.
Marriage is a beautiful thing. I'm a single person.
Okay.
But I have a lot of friends that are married, but I see what they go through, and the real strong marriages, whatever comes down the pike, you know, they deal with it and move on, you know, but they're still together.
Now, let me ask you a question, Ed. You plan and you hope to be married one day?
One day.
All right. So it doesn't sound like you're too excited about marriage, and perhaps it's because of what you see in your surroundings or in marriages in general. And so you had mentioned something about the lack of trust and how people just begin to, they don't care. They're selfish. They think about themselves, and that's why they'll go ahead and divorce. You know, what do you think will be different the day you get married?
Well, that's a good question. What do I think will be different? Well, at least on my part, I would try my best to spend as much time with my wife so that she wouldn't think I'm cheating, or if I'm at work, the trust has to be there for her to know that I'm at work.
Sure.
You know, and not anywhere else. If I plan on, let's say, maybe stopping somewhere, I call and let her know where I'm at, and I'll be home such a time, whatever.
Okay.
And so I think if she can trust me like I trust her, then it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. Well, I think you're on the right track. Trust will be the biggest factor, right? In your marriage, you're going to go above and beyond to make sure that trust is not violated and that your wife can trust you, and hopefully vice versa. Well, Ed, we want to say thank you so much for calling us this morning.
You're welcome.
All right.
Well,
thank
have a blessed
you,
Ed. Now, Dr. Tommy Shavers, we want to ask you, how do you build that trust? You know, so many people don't have trust in a marriage. Maybe they didn't start off that way. Some people sort of trust each other or have a hopeful trust, and then at some point they lose that trust, and it's usually not rebuilt. And what we see from our end is that's usually when a marriage is pretty much over, or at least it's going to be in a miserable stage if you do not have trust.
Well, I mean, I think that's a great question. I think first, oftentimes we don't recognize that, you know, it's simple, but it's a reality. We bring ourselves into a marriage. And so if we haven't been trustworthy in our own lives or have seen trust, you know, we bring in this sense of not trusting.
Sure.
And, you know, oftentimes we don't realize that, you know, if two individual people are broken coming into a marriage, those two halves don't make a whole, you know.
That's true.
And
I want you to hold that thought for a minute, because our next caller feels that her husband does not trust her.
Okay.
Right. So we want to go to line two and speak with Janelle, who's calling in from Charlotte. Janelle, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you all this
all right,
morning?
Good.
Good morning, Janelle. So we are talking about why marriages fail. And specifically, I believe your comment is about your husband not trusting you.
Yes. And actually, I believe the issues with trust have nothing to do with me, but more of a probably past experience.
Okay.
And I haven't done anything to, you know, break his trust, and he's acknowledged that.
Okay.
And, but I think this just because of his past, you know, we've both been married before. And I think the things that happened in this prior marriage is making him, you know, want to spend every waking minute with me. If visits at the grocery store. And I mean, I really like doing a lot of things with my husband, but at some point, you know, we need to do things apart. And, you
sure.
know, maybe I have lunch with my girlfriends or something, and he gets very upset when it happens. You know, he wants to be around me all the time.
Okay. So you're saying your husband wants to be around you, but it's not necessarily because he enjoys your company, but he doesn't like for you to be alone because of his past relationship. He has trust issues.
Well, I think, you know, we do enjoy doing a lot of things together. We're very family-oriented. We spend a lot of time with our family, with our kids,
okay.
and each other. But when I want to do something, you know, with someone else or if I want to spend just me time, I think that's when he has a problem. Because if I'm out of his sight or something like that, and I think based on some things, you know, very bad things that happened to him in his previous marriage, that he's now imposing those things on me. And I just don't know how to get him to see that, you know, it's healthy to spend, you know, time away. You know, if I need to spend time with it, like I said, girlfriend, have lunch.
Sure, I got you.
Even if I want to get my hair done, you know, it's, you know, he takes me to get my hair done. And everyone at the hair salon thinks it's so sweet that he sits there and waits for me.
Wow.
And it was at first, but now it's like, it's okay. I'm going to be home in 2 hours.
You just want some room to breathe. That's what,
yeah.
that's what it sounds like. Well, let me ask Dr. Shavers what he wants to comment about this.
You know, it's a tough issue. I do think that, you know, as you shared, you recognize. Well, let me ask this question. Does he acknowledge and recognize that trust was, you know, broken or hindered, you know, in his previous relationship?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay. So I think that, you know, my advice would be really to center it around how important it is for the two of you to build trust,
mm-hmm.
And to make it about how important it is for your relationship not to go a certain way. Because what people don't realize is that when you don't have trust, it creates realities in your own minds, whether
mm-hmm.
true or not, it does. And oftentimes we don't seem to think the best about people for some reason. We think the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And those become kind of self-inflicted wounds that can hurt the relationship. So I think for you guys, I think it'd be important to really just start with, and for you to understand, you may have to build this on a little bit, take little chunks at a time on how can we build trust, you know, and work on that progressively, because he may not be able to bite off as much as you would want him to yet, but that negotiating would allow you to stretch him a little more than he is, because your whole goal is, I'm not just trying to be free, I'm trying to build trust together, you know, with one another.
Absolutely. And Janelle, a question for you. Have you shared with your husband how this makes you feel?
Yes, I have. And I have... actually, next week I purchased him baseball tickets, and he wants me to go, and I invited his brother to go with him. So at least for 4 hours, he'll be with someone else.
Well, that's,
you know,
smart.
I'm trying to start in the, you know, like you said, just a little bit to say it's okay, and I'll be there. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be, you know, at home. And it's okay for us to be apart.
You
have expressed it.
You know what's really good, though? I want to commend you on this, is that you acknowledge that your husband does love you, but he does have baggage, and it's to the point where it's unhealthy. Like you said, it sounded sweet when he goes to the beauty salon. But after a while, I mean, at some point, you need your girl time. You know, you need your you time. And I think one of the beauties about the Bible is that the Bible's still very real.
Yeah.
And in all of the Psalms, there are 150 Psalms. You know, the psalmists are just being real. They're being real with God. They're not, you know, they're not facetious about how they feel. So if they're hurt, they share the hurt. If they're afraid, they share the fear. If they're, you know, excited about their relationship with God, they share that too. And I think sometimes we feel like it's wrong to express something that feels wrong. But I think in your case, it's okay to express that this is not a good feeling, that you love your husband and you acknowledge that. But at the same time, you want him to have that trust so you can have your space. Because I believe, to me, my wife and I, we know, we appreciate each other more when we're away from each other.
Absolutely.
Than when we come back together. So if you don't have that, I think your husband does need time to heal. And it sounds like you're being patient with him. I just want to encourage you to continue to be patient. He'll get there. I think that was a smart move doing this, you know, ball game and having him spend time with his brother. You might need to do more things like this and just be open. And let me tell you one more thing that you can't lose sight on is that prayer works. That God is going to have to intervene and help your husband to heal so that your marriage can be healthier.
Right.
And Janelle, we want to say thank you so much for calling us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Take care. All right, let's go down to Charlotte and speak with Trina on line one. Trina, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Hi, y'all.
Oh, we're doing great, Trina. Trina, it sounds like you're sharing a testimony with us.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
My husband had went out and cheated on me for 9 months, and it was heartbreaking. But yet, I had to think about how many times I broke God's heart before I let him back into my life. So it's like I had to keep it together, because it's easy to divorce somebody, but it's harder to keep, it's hard to just stay together.
Sure. So, you're saying in your case, right, it would have been easy to walk away, but you fought through, you forgave your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did this happen, did you fight through it while it was happening, or did you find out after the 9 months?
I found out, it's funny, Facebook could tell it all.
Okay.
And I found out through Facebook, but, you know, for him to be a man who would not stand up and say, yes, I am, until I kept saying, look, this is how it is. I already know you with somebody else. I already know it's another person.
Hold on a second. You got to tell me that he was having an affair and he posted stuff on Facebook?
Yes.
And he was thinking that you're not going to find out? Explain that one, please.
It was, I don't know. He said he didn't put it on there, but it was on Facebook, so I don't know how it got on there. Only thing I know is, like, I want this other woman and I don't want my wife, which, I mean, and that hurt. But yet I know the number one thing for me to get through my pain was to turn to God. So, you know, I kept fasting and praying, well, Lord, if this is how you want it, then I'll let it be. But if there's something that I need to do or whatever I need to do to get this marriage back together, let me know. So I just kept praying. I kept reading my Bible. And it's hard to understand, because a lot of people's like, you should have left him out there. You shouldn't have took him back. He ain't no good. But yet, when I got married, it was me, my husband, and God up there. It wasn't me, you, and God.
That's true.
Right.
So I had to direct myself to the right person to find out what I need to do about my marriage. And when he came back and he asked me, I had a lot of regret in my heart, and I had a lot of anger in my heart. So first, you know, it's like, it was hard for me to understand. You're going to be out there with this woman, take care of this woman for 9 months, and I'm struggling at home, but yet you want me to take you back. But I had to still turn around and look about how many times God forgave me.
Sure. Amen.
So,
well, let me ask you this. Did he finally admit to him having this affair?
Yes, he did.
Okay, great. And then you decided to forgive him. Well, good for you. And we want to say thank you so much for sharing that with us. Trina, I believe that's an amazing testimony of how God can help us overcome. And look, he finally got to see it. I think it's interesting, though, and I want to talk more about this in just a moment. But, Trina, I do want to say thank you. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call. All right, you too. Have a good day.
And, you know, Tommy, really quickly before we go to the next caller, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. I know that the book of Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. And so sin is sin. I mean, the same sin you see people commit today was committed 2,000 years ago, like having an affair or being unfaithful. I think what's new, however, is the fact that some people are using social media and it's so easily exposed. So people are getting caught left and right. I've known situations, I've known of various situations where people have found out, you know, other things and things have gotten exposed via Facebook. And so we live in some interesting times.
Oh, we do. I mean, you know, especially with technology, not only, you know, increased opportunities to connect also becomes increased opportunity for people to stumble, but also for people to be exposed. And so I think in some ways it's a tricky situation, where we are. But I think people have to be wise in how they use social media, especially from a marriage and relationship standpoint. Because like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just new opportunities and how are we going to use them?
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is, like you said, people are getting caught. They're caught out there. And very recently, I just read about a guy who was plotting a murder down in Florida, and he butt dialed 911, and while he was speaking, he revealed the plans to kill someone, and was caught.
Wow.
A guy by the name of Scott Simon, down in Florida. So this is your neck of the woods, Tommy, and I think that it's amazing how technology is also exposing more and more. I think God is using it to show how foolish we can be as people.
And let me just say, from a marriage standpoint, to say out there, just because new technologies come out and new doors are open doesn't mean you have to go through them.
All right, we'll say that again. Amen.
And it's true. I mean, you know, for some reason, in fact, it means we need to be more vigilant because there's more opportunities for things to come into our relationships. Just because it's out there, we think we have to open ourselves up to them. We don't.
All right.
All
right. Well, hold that thought just for just a minute. We're going to go back to Michigan.
Actually, before we do that, we want to remind everybody, if you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. The number to call in is 855-454-5905. Now, going to Michigan to speak with Evangelist Bonnie Townsend on line 3. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning to all you beautiful people. I just wanted to say I have been listening to your show for about a month now, and I have to compliment each and every one of you and even your guests that you have that comes on and give it. Like, this is a good show.
Thank you.
This is a wonderful show. The advice that you give is just phenomenal, and it's right on target. So I just wanted to compliment you. I have been, a matter of fact, me and my husband will be celebrating 20 years next year.
Congratulations.
Thank God, because of God, because I have gone through. And it was a time, because of me knowing the Lord and the call on my life, I remember when I went to some counseling when I was going through, and the minister that I was under at that time told me, you're going to have to give this over to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy. And I did decide to do it. And once I just really just kind of got quiet and humbled myself and turned everything over to the Lord, when my husband was doing some things that he knew was wrong, but he wasn't saved at that time.
Okay.
Now he's a deacon, and we're doing much, much better. And I just got through getting my associate's in Christian counseling. I want to further my education because I would love to do some counseling when it comes to marriage. But one thing I can say, which I've heard you say, which is true, you've got to understand and have that personal relationship with God, and God will give you all the answers that you need. But you have to learn to humble yourself and listen to the Holy Spirit and let him intervene on when things are going on. And it is true. The Lord will work it out.
And you know what? I appreciate this, Evangelist Townsend, because a lot of times, especially in the Christian community among Christian leaders, we'll say things that are not necessarily true. For example, I hear people say things like, oh, you know, just give it over to the Lord. That's easy. You can do that. You know what? It's not. The Bible says we're living sacrifices. And
that's
the problem with being a living sacrifice is you don't want to sacrifice your life.
Right.
You want to take it back and be in control. And so it's not easy. It's easier said than done.
Yes.
And when you're in that marriage and your spouse hurts you, it's so easy to retaliate. And it's hard to give it to the Lord.
Yes.
Even Jesus, right? Jesus being on the cross wasn't easy for him.
Right.
Now, he did it, and we're so amazingly grateful for it.
Yes.
But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It's not going to be easy for us.
That's right.
But it is doable.
Yes.
So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And
you're
thank
very
you.
Welcome. Every one of you have a blessed weekend and have a safe, wonderful holiday.
All right, you too,
God bless
Bonnie.
You
thank
all
you.
Of you.
God bless.
Same
God
to
God
you.
Bless.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to line 4 and speak with Linnell from Delaware. Linnell, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Linnell, thank you so much for calling. You're calling from my favorite state now, Delaware, the first state. Thank you. All right, what is your comment or question for us this morning?
Yes, I do. Me and my husband, we've been married for 12 years. When you were speaking about the trust issues, we have a lot of that in this relationship through the years. My husband was a user of drugs, and I went through like maybe about 5-6 years of that. But I stayed on my knees, you know, and kept asking God to bring him out of it. He did come out, but then he slipped back and went back. And it was a lot of mistrust with him going in and out of homes that was, you know, people that used.
Sure.
And then he did sleep with another female during that process. So the trust fell between me and him. So I don't know really how to build that trust back up.
That's a great point, Linnell. Let me interject for a minute. First of all, you know, sometimes we talk about how we should trust one another, but we forget to mention that trust is something you earn, and you have to be trustworthy. Not everybody is trustworthy. And when you talk about your husband when he was abusing drugs, is he still using drugs?
Every now and then.
Okay, so yeah, so the answer is yes.
Drinking.
So he is.
And doing drugs, yes.
Okay, well, here's the reality. You can't trust an addict. You can't trust someone that you can't take them for face value. The problem with drugs, of course, the drugs are the issue, but it breaks down your character, and you begin to say and do things that you don't mean. And so people would say whatever it takes so that they can get high or so that they can live that lifestyle. So they'll start kind of creating this facade, this lie. It's a lot of drug users tend to be excellent manipulators. That's how they're able to continue their habit. You know, they manipulate, they know how to apologize and say the right things. But what I tell people all the time, the very first thing you need to do is you can't believe a word they say. You have to believe their actions. So I don't care what your husband tells you, you got to look at what he's doing. Is he showing you that he's different? And I think the first step with an addict is he willing to do whatever it takes to get recovery? And it starts with being honest, open. You shouldn't have to find out. He should be able to tell you, listen, I've blown it. I've messed up. I'm going to check myself into a rehab. And then follow through. Everything he says he would do, he needs to do. So like if he says he's going to get up that morning at 6 a.m., pack his bags, go into the rehab, the next morning if he doesn't do it, then he really didn't mean what he was saying. He was being deceitful. And Tommy, you want to... Yes.
This is what he does do. He'll like apologize, just like you said. He'll apologize, and like maybe a day or two later, he'll go back and do the same thing.
Exactly.
Like for instance, he'll say, "I'm sorry," you know what I mean, because he has called me out of my name.
Sure.
You know, and then he'll say, "I'm sorry," and then like day or two later, he'll go right back and do it again.
So he's not sorry. See, someone that's really sorry, and we use that word very loosely, someone who repents, let's use the biblical term, if they really repent, they change. It's not a matter of words, it's a matter of deeds. And so in this case, your husband is showing you that he has not changed. And so you need to have an intervention with him. It needs to be like, listen, if we're going to be able to have this marriage, you're going to have to do some things. And it's okay for you. I want you to know this, Linnell. It's okay for you to set some boundaries and have a standard and say, listen, husband, I love you, but we cannot live like this. You need to stop this. You need to do this. And you need to have some very specific details of changes he needs to make. And he needs to follow through with each and every one of them. One of the things that I do with people with addicts, let me just finish this. One of the things I do is I'm incredibly specific. Like, for example, I'll tell an addict, call me tomorrow at 3 p.m., not at 3:05, not at 4. Call me at 3. And the reason why I'm very specific is addicts are intense about their drug use. So if their provider, you know, their drug dealer tells them to show up at 3 o'clock, you better guarantee that they will be there at 3 o'clock because they want to get their supply. And so if they're that intense about getting high, they should be that intense about getting right.
Right, exactly. And, you know, another thing is like, for instance, like, you know, he'll be like, well, you got to perform as a wife. He always tells me this. I got to perform as a wife.
Okay.
Physically, mentally, the whole nine.
Okay.
And, like, when I pull that away from him, I'll be like, no, because you're not acting right.
Okay, well, now this is what you're saying. So he's telling you, he's asking for, he's telling you to perform your marital duties as a wife, you know, to be intimate. And you're saying, hold up a second. Now, Lena, I want to get more conversation about this. We're just going to take a brief break. Dr. Tommy Shavers will be right back as well. So everyone else, don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
All right. We want you to stay right there. And in the meantime, if you're not already on the line, please do so. All you have to do is call us at 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows will return right after this.